We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here it goes, Jim. Lamar Jackson, you got people over the middle of the field. Take your time and throw it to him.
He's got protection. Got all kinds of time. He throws, and Watkins has it for the touchdown. The game hinges on one play. Jackson flings it. Andrews can't get to it. Could not reel it in. Incomplete.
Try to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So it's an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
You know, they aggressively play analytics. You know, from that standpoint, they're predictable.
I was a little surprised because I ran off the field to begin with. We called a timeout, bought me an extra couple seconds. At first, I thought he scored. He, like, had it in his hand, and then he dropped it. Luckily, we got the touchdown to keep them from, you know, using their great kicker they got, just go down the field. But,
you know, right before it happened, I saw Coach Sully, he was standing next to me. I said, you think if they score, they go for two? And he said, no way. And then I saw it, and, you know, that's Coach Harbaugh. He's going to take those chances, and that's why he's a great coach.
All right, what do you guys think?
I was waiting for another shoe to drop there.
Did the Ravens do the Steelers a favor with that two-point call?
Only in the sense that Andrews failed to catch it and Jackson failed to maybe put enough air under it. I thought it was the right decision, especially Harbaugh's rationale after, which we didn't know in the moment that he was losing cornerbacks left and right. I thought they absolutely made the right decision there. I don't even like calling decisions like that ballsy or gutsy anymore.
Why?
Because analytically speaking, with the quarterback he has, the way that they're able to gain 2 or 3 yards when they need them, analytically to me, that is the better decision than have to go and play overtime.
When you say analytically, you mean
like I think that gives them a better chance to win than going to overtime and letting the chips fall where they may. Because, yeah, you've got a great kicker, but you've also got one of the hardest quarterbacks to bring down in that kind of a situation, one of the most versatile, dangerous guys in the league. No matter how bad he was that game and how sloppy he was. And frankly, they called a perfect play. Watt didn't get fooled, but I thought Andrews should have caught the ball. They've done whole like exposés on how he tips the ball to himself regularly.
Mm-hmm.
He's made so many great like one-handed catches, almost commonplace. I watched that replay 3 or 4 times because everyone seemed to say Lamar threw a bad ball. It wasn't perfect. I thought Andrews should have and would have normally caught that. And then it's the game.
But he had the dropsies in that game.
Oh, he had a huge drop early in the game.
So,
but still, that's Mark Andrews. You don't throw it away from him because he dropped a couple passes.
I can tell you on my couch when the decision got made to go for it, I was thankful for it.
Why?
I wanted the game to come down to
confident?
One play. Yeah, I did. Not
the Steelers had been handing them their lunch for the majority of the fourth quarter. I know that last drive didn't go so well defensively, but they were taking it to them.
I wanted the game to come down to basically a coin flip there. Because one of the other factors that you have to take into account with this is once you go to overtime against the Ravens, you have to admit that how that game had transpired and played out for that day, for that given Sunday, the Ravens had the clear advantage at kicker. And that's not always the case with Boswell. But when you shank an extra point and kick a ball out of bounds, and they have Justin Tucker, they have the kicking advantage in the extra.
Well, they have
frame.
The kicking advantage no matter what.
But
Boswell
it's even more pronounced,
done.
I think, because of what Boswell. He was clearly going through something yesterday. You don't kick a ball out of bounds. The only other time we've seen that this year is when Harvin had to do it, a guy that was kicking ground balls to the net against
good.
The Browns.
He wasn't obviously wasn't having his
he
best
wasn't
day,
on his game.
But
Ballsy.
Guess what? You weren't going to have the kicking advantage no matter what there, is I guess my point.
Tucker's automatic. He never misses. Boswell, it's now in my head that he looked like a guy that does the halftime, you know, try for a college tuition. Although that's not, they don't do kicks anymore. They throw it.
They throw shovel passes.
They threw chest passes through Dr. Pepper.
A word about that for 10 seconds here. If you are competing for that much in scholarship money, you throw the ball however you need to get as many through that stupid little opening in that pop bottle as you can.
I agree with you, but I think the fact that it's only 5 yards out is
the one
a
dude,
joke.
The
it
dude
should
who
be
was,
10 yards.
The dude who I thought was the biggest badass of all of them, I don't even think he won, but his strategy was hyper-aggressive. He had a ball in each hand and was whoop, whoop, whoop. But no, I think that in this particular case, Lamar, who was struggling to hit that open bottle of Dr. Pepper yesterday.
Yeah, that's another part of this, Chris.
He still didn't. The ball was on Andrew's hands, and I think Andrew's just.
But it's still not a great or good throw.
Was it a good play? Design.
No.
Design-wise. No. Design-wise.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think it was a great play.
Any play there where Jackson throws the ball instead of keeping it for himself and deciding, I'm going to get the yards that I need to win the game here, I take pre-snap. If the play pre-snap is, the ball is going to leave Lamar Jackson's hands, I like my chances. Because my eyes got big every time he threw the ball in that game yesterday. When he took off and ran and avoided the pass rush, and all right, here he goes, I'm like, crap, it's going to be 15 yards, 20 yards, 22 yards.
They fooled one of the two people they were trying to fool. They fooled Minka badly. They didn't fool Watt. But if I'm John Harbaugh and my game comes down to essentially...
He's running it for me, Chris.
Can my quarterback make, what was that, about an 8-yard throw? Maybe. Seriously. Maybe 8 yards on actual distance?
I don't even think it was that much.
Okay. I will take that. And your quarterback did not make a great throw. Ball I still think should have been caught or could have been caught at the very least. It was not like some impossible play. If my quarterback can't make that throw 95 times out of 100 and convert that play, he shouldn't be in the NFL. I think they got lucky that
he
was
is
one of
the,
those one times.
But he is in the NFL because he is so incredibly dynamic as
a
runner.
Oh, he looked horrible
that
as
he
a passer yesterday.
Exactly. So why have him throw the ball there?
Because everybody's expecting him to run, and the Steelers had proven that they could actually get him down.
That's like when the Steelers at the one-yard line decide to run a shovel pass play back to Freiermuth instead of handing the ball off to Najee Harris.
That play got trucked by three defenders who actually were watching for it and waiting for it to happen. That play was a walk-in two-pointer for Andrews. It was a walk-in.
If there's no pressure, it might be.
Even if he just throws like a 1% better
ball.
But
you've got to figure there's going to be pressure on that play. Because it's the Steelers' edge rushers against the Ravens' tackles, including
Watt
Big
made
L.
A nice play. T.J. Watt made a nice play to just get in the passing lane. But I thought they made the right call to go for it, especially given their injury situation.
But what
and
does
I
that
think
even
Lamar
mean?
Lamar more screwed up than anything.
But that's something that John Harbaugh should have factored into his decision-making.
I think he did.
See,
You make that decision if you're John Harbaugh knowing that your quarterback had been pretty inaccurate all day. Now, granted, he had just moved you right down the field with some of his best throws of the day, and I thought his touchdown to Watkins was probably his best throw.
By the way, did you notice that Harbaugh, after the game, didn't give the answer that Tomlin gave? Because the analytics don't favor him going for two there. Their win probability goes down by going for two.
Did the old Ben Baldwin Twitter bot tell
you
that?
No, that's what Next Gen Stats...
Hold on.
New York Times, all of those.
I have an account I follow specifically.
All of those
this.
Number generators said they were better off kicking the extra point there and going to overtime. And Harbaugh, Tomlin said they lean on analytics. All Harbaugh, if that was true, all he needed to say after the game was, our numbers person was in my ear. He said that was the right call. Just like that same person was in his ear and said, have your guy go offsides on purpose. So we can have the timeout, two-minute warning situation lined up right, like they did. So, I mean, I think he weighed too much the defensive players he wasn't going to have. I didn't like the play call.
How could he have weighed it too much when they were getting strafed by Ben all fourth quarter, and then clearly and far and away his best cover corner was going to be gone for overtime? How was he not weighing it properly? Ben had a perfect passer
because
rating.
If he wins the coin toss, he just watched his offense go down the field.
Yeah, but what had they done
prior
to that? What had they done prior
to
that?
Well, what had you done for me lately, Malsy?
There was way, way more reason to expect that the Steelers offense was going to come out in a fresh overtime period firing on cylinders.
The other thing about the Ravens that is a myth about them is that because they have Jackson, they're good at two-point plays. They're not. They don't convert two-point plays at a high rate. The year that he won the MVP award, they converted 33% of their two-point tries. This year, they're one out of every three. They're not good at it.
You think it's because they've put too many of them on tape?
I really think that Harbaugh's, we have found a way to lucky rabbit foot and win these games all year.
You think it bit him?
And that luck is going to continue. I'm going to go for it here and roll the dice because that has been our team's identity and MO all season.
Yep.
That in these got-to-have-it moments, these got-to-have-it plays, we somehow get it done. And so I think he went against the analytics. I think his gut said, just let it roll. You got the momentum right now. Keep going with it.
And again, it maybe was 2 inches from not working.
And I think it's interesting what Ben said after the game, because I think in Ben's situation, he knows that Tomlin would kick the extra point there.
Do you think Ben liked the call?
Yes. Why do you think he said after the game, Harbaugh's a great coach? I think I would not be surprised at all if when they're going through the handshakes and the stuff.
Ben says, great call, coach.
Yep. Goes up to Harbaugh and said, hey,
I thought that was
this
gutty.
Was another classic Steelers-Ravens game. Just want to let you know, even though you guys lost, loved the play.
So did I, though. I don't care if the analytics said kick the extra point. If that game goes to overtime, I think the Steelers win. And it might be either they stop them or they hold them to a field goal, and I think they're going to march the ball right down the field and score on
them. What were you thinking in the stadium in that moment, Donnie Football?
I was worried. I'm not going to lie, because the Ravens with a...
They had just gone down the field, and they were just going to try to get 2.5 more yards or whatever.
Yeah, and with an athlete like Lamar Jackson, you know, I think the Ravens have the advantage there, even though the Steelers' defense...
Run a triple option play. Do that.
The one time they had done something like that, the Steelers were actually ready for it. Like, Arthur Maulette, of all people, sniffed it out.
Run the old Tim Tebow jump pass play, where the idea is if you got an opening, run it. If you don't,
they ran a play that got Mark Andrews wide freaking open with nobody even close to tackling, to being able to tackle
him. But their quarterback can't make those throws consistently enough, Chris.
It was the right call. They got burnt because he did biff the throw a little bit. And Andrews... I think Andrews, by the way, thought he was going to take it right off his fingertips and bring it in. He did not go for that like full extension. I think Andrews thought the ball is where it needs to be. I'm going to pop this to myself, catch it, and waltz into the end zone. It was a bad throw, but I thought Andrews kind of 85%ed the effort at the catch. I really do.
You think he was intimidated?
By what?
I don't know. By the hard-hitting nature of the Steelers' defense yesterday? I don't know.
I'm not going to.
Why did he drop as many balls as he did?
I have no idea, because one of them he dropped on a 2nd and 11 where he could have run for about 25 yards, and the nearest Steelers defender was 2 yards behind him.
Gashed a lot, especially on that 99-yard drive, but I thought their physical intensity was there yesterday.
I said that in the first hour of the show. I know it's a Ben post. It's a Ben Monday. It's a victory Monday. It's about him because of everything before the game. I thought their defense, but for really 2 drives, the 99-yarder and at the end of the game, which is a big deal, I thought their defense kicked a lot of ass in that game, frankly. Like, there was a, you know, there's the Ravens have the play where Chuck Clark crushes Johnson and there's no flag, but I thought the Steelers were laying the lumber way more consistently. Najee Harris was running pissed off. When Benny Snell got in, he's getting low and churning the legs.
Yep. Somebody points out on Twitter that Tomlin's full of crap, and I agree with this, about how he knew that they were going to go for it and the analytics are predictable. If that's the case, then he communicates that to Schobert, and there's no way after the touchdown
that
Hayward runs
off
the field.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's correct.
Because they know to stay out there.
I think Mike Tomlin knows that Harbaugh does do a lot of analytically based things. And just figured this will sound accurate to his, like, M.O. after the game. Like,
they had to burn
this,
a timeout because Hayward had said, oh, crap, we're going to overtime. I can't believe
this. Wait a minute. Let's not act like burning a timeout there is some bad thing. It's a do-or-die play.
No. I know. But it wasn't like a timeout to say, all right, here's the look they came out in. Let's come over to the sideline now and talk about it. It was because their second-best defensive player had just assumed that it was going to be an extra point try.
Yeah, Hayward's own words do pretty much say that. Or does Mike Tomlin mean, when I realized they were going for it, it then did not surprise me because of what John is all about? Yes, maybe it took me by surprise initially, but then, oh yeah, okay, they're really doing this? Sure.
No, I don't think that's what he said. Here.
Play it again, Sam.
Hold on, I got to get sound from the football guy.
Don Football.
All right, here it is.
You know, they aggressively play analytics. You know, from that standpoint, they're predictable.
Predictably aggressive.
Penguins and Kraken tonight. I bring that up because Penguins beat writer Mike DeFabo.
Oh, no.
Did something unfortunate during the Steelers game yesterday.
Oh, no.
Now, he is a season ticket holder. And when we went down for the home opener against the Raiders, Mike was texting me to meet up. So even though he covers the Penguins, I don't think that this is journalistically unethical. Uh-oh. He's objective when it comes to the Penguins because it's his beat, but he's from Latrobe and he still maintains his Steelers fandom, right?
Okay.
So his fandom got the best of him during the game yesterday. Did you hear about this, Donnie Football?
I did. Yeah.
Now, did you go to high school with DeFabo?
No, I did not.
What do you think? Like Latrobe and Greensburg, Salem are just next door neighbors?
You know, you would be surprised how many people they hear Latrobe and Greensburg, if they're from either out of state or from Pittsburgh.
Some city slicker.
They think they're right next door.
Thank you.
Okay, so
thank you.
I'm guessing DeFabo was at the game.
Okay.
He probably tailgated.
So you think pops were involved here?
I think so. And okay. He's frustrated because the Steelers offense through the first three quarters pretty much blown ass. Okay.
Yes. No drive longer than 52 yards for a field goal.
So,
at that
what
point.
Does DeFabo tweet at that point?
You want me to read the entire tweet?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Okay. This came at 5:29 p.m. Yeah. I love the quote. "You're gonna miss Big Ben when he's gone," crowd. "Yes, I will miss 3 points in 6 quarters. Sorry, you have Alzheimer's and only remember things from 2005.
Now, what happened to that tweet?
It then got deleted.
But the internet is forever.
It's undefeated. When do you think is the moment Mike DeFabo, Penguins beat writer at the Post-Gazette, deletes his slanderous Big Ben tweet? When is the moment he thinks
so
to himself?
So what time was it? 5:29 he sent
even
it?
Even though yep. People can screenshot this and throw it
is
back
it
in my face.
Within 5 minutes?
No, it was not. It was up there for a while because Donnie said during one of the breaks in the action he found it on Twitter and was angered
amused?
By it.
Were you
no, Donnie
by
was
it?
Fired up by it. He was not a huge fan of it.
I certainly didn't agree, but.
Interesting.
First of all, at least say go back to 08 when the guy orchestrated
right.
A game-winning drive to
yeah,
win the Super
Bowl. Yeah, he has one of the great throws in Super Bowl history.
Yeah,
we're
that's
talking
true.
About his second year in the league.
That's true.
Right. So this was ticket.
Still, I mean, going back to 08 is not great.
But I want to know if he just felt like, you know what?
You know what he was responding to? I don't think it was directly towards Ben. I think it was a tweet mocking the Twitter crowd. That hyperventilating, like the people who believe Ben should have been allowed this year if it was an 0-17 season to have a farewell tour. The people that seemingly react more positively to Ben than their own family. I think he was mocking them.
Ben's not on social media and it's in the middle of the game, but it almost inspired them to victory. 5:26. I'd love to know in real time
what was happening.
And then from there on out, what Roethlisberger and the Steelers
did. I think it's a
did.
Tale of two halves. Pre-DeFabo tweet and post. I would imagine that an hour into that game, especially with the Ravens ripping off such a long drive, you were probably right around halftime.
Do you think that his Post-Gazette colleagues in the press box see this and
oh,
think?
Oh, I think there's an absolute chance that
your
maybe
cooks
there is
and Fittipaldos and Dulacs saying, are like, yeah. This is a guy who works for our newspaper. He can't act like a fan. Delete.
I think they're
take
saying.
Take it down.
I think maybe there's a, hey, what if they give us a hard time in the interview rooms about something we didn't tweet? Which is always miraculous that Colony and Jeff don't come to me and say, hey, could you
do
cool
you
it?
Do you think his girlfriend, Jenna Harner, over at Channel 11, is in the press box and is watching this go
and
down and says, hey,
face-palming.
Mike,
what are you doing
I'm hearing scuttlebutt here.
Scuttle and or butt is going on in this room. I don't know, man. I think somebody compelled him to delete it, because in the moment, I don't think he thinks better of it after the fact. Once it's out there, it's out there. It's in the wind, man.
I just think the decision of, you know what? I'm getting an avalanche of crap from people right now. I need to put a stop to it.
I don't think DeFabo's wired like that, though. I think he's going to, maybe if there, now, if there was
Donnie,
a,
if you in a situation like
that? If there
that,
was a managerial rebuke, I think he
where
takes
you,
it down.
Where
but
you
not
put
the
a controversial tweet out there and you're like, I can't take this anymore. I got to get rid of this. I got to just put the kibosh on this.
The only way you do it is if you actually said something like that could get you in trouble as far as being profane or poor taste.
I can't really think of any of mine like that, but. I mean, like, I'll delete tweets if they just get, like, zero, like, interaction.
Oh, wow. So you delete tweets to protect your own ego?
Sometimes. Not always, but...
Yeah, I know some media people who've made a career out of deleting tweets in this
It's
city.
Almost... You're saying, like, if no one reacts to this tweet, it's
it must
almost
not
like
have
it
been
never
any
happened.
Good. Yeah. If a tweet falls in the forest and nobody favorites it...
Is it really
did
it a really, tweet?
Did you really tweet it?
That's pretty funny, actually. All right. Well, Hathorn was in the press box. He's going to join us next. I'm very excited for his visit. We'll get insiders' takes on what the Steelers were able to do yesterday. Aditi from 4 to 5. Jeff with us next. He had a bird's eye view on it all. Can speak to the importance of a win like this, what it means to Ben, etc. Right now it's headline time, Donnie.
Send Murray out of the backfield. Chasing after Lamar. Throws it off his back foot. He's intercepted in the end zone. He throws another pick. It's Micah Fitzpatrick with the football.
Brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. On this victory Monday over the Ravens, Pony and Muller, Jeff Hathorn was in the building to watch it all unfold. Craig Riley texting incessantly. Are you watching the Baltimore running back play quarterback? After plays like that Micah interception. And we were just debating this, Jeff. What was the give us the reaction. Take us inside Heinz Field. All of these scribes and glitzy media stars, your Richie Walshes, your Mark Cabalis of the world, etc. The reaction in the press box as the Ravens sent the offense back on the field to attempt the two-point try.
So there was mixed reaction. You know, one is the thought of, okay – we're going to overtime initially, and that always brings this sigh in the press box because you don't want the game to go longer. So when the timeout happened, because Cam Hayward came off the field and Tomlin had to use a timeout, Tucker walked out onto the field and started going through the motions of kicking.
A little gamesmanship there. I like that.
Right. So the thought was, wow, he just made Tomlin burn that timeout, and he's just going to come out and kick it. And then when they lined up for two, I think there was there starts to be debate because that's what we're yep. media people. We debate everything.
So where's Jeff's opinion? You're mixing it up with these guys. What are you saying there?
My opinion was Baltimore's the better team. I'm going for one. I'm going for overtime. I've got the best kicker in the history of the game. I watched him in warmups kick 63 yarders with no problem in Heinz Field. I mean, he is an absolute automatic kicking field goals. And, you know, what you get by that first possession, you're going to win the game because you need to get to the 40. So, I mean, I thought Baltimore should have – I get why he went for it, and I get, hey, Lamar Jackson, you have so many different options. And let me tell you on that play, too, what T.J. Watt there was incredible because when you're rushing Lamar Jackson in that circumstance – there's like 100 different scenarios that can play out on your mind. If you over-pursue him, he's gonna run inside. If you go inside too much, he's going to run around you. I mean, to try to make that play and be as big as you possibly can, he made a heck of a play, and obviously it wasn't a good enough throw.
Jeff, I think the Ravens are the better team, but I think the Steelers had completely turned that game on its ear in the fourth quarter, the late third into the fourth, and that's why if I were Baltimore – I think you made the right decision there. You don't have Humphrey, which Harbaugh at that point knows nobody else really does. Right. He only says it after the game. The Steelers were working them over, even when before Humphrey had gotten hurt late in that game. I thought they actually did the right thing there. because I think if the Steelers get the ball first, as I cannot believe I am saying this. If the Steelers get the ball first, win the toss, and take it, I think there is a very good chance they go right down the field on them and score a touchdown.
I guess I buy into the momentum of they had just driven right down the field with ease and scored. And how many times have they done that this year? That they were going to find a way in overtime. Now that also could be said for we've done this so many times, we're going to make this 2-point conversion work. And they had the right play. It just wasn't a good enough throw and a good enough distraction by Watt.
Jeff, what did you think the turning point was for the Steelers' offense? Being in the stadium, getting a different view of things, being closer than the rest of us watching on TV, what do you think allowed for that Steelers' offensive transformation in the fourth quarter?
You know what? I think it started that last drive of the first half. I mean, they had done nothing. I mean, the time of possession was ridiculously lopsided. The plays were four times in the Ravens' favor. But the Steelers found a way to get some points at the end of the half. Maybe not exactly what you wanted, but they at least got something going. And when they got into half, I think there was no panic. They were obviously a little bit closer in the game. And I think eventually they were able to find some holes in that Ravens defense, which credit to them for not just – they didn't just blow everything up with the offense, but they also kind of stuck to what worked.
Jeff, what about the Steelers' defense? Because I know for obvious reasons this has narrative-wise been very much a Ben-centric victory Monday, and they scored 17 points and what have you in the fourth quarter. Man, I thought their defense had two bad drives given up and then otherwise basically kicked the snot out of the Ravens and frustrated them.
Well, I mean, that opening drive, Minka makes that huge play because that was, looking like it was going to be a long day from the first drive. That turnover was huge. And, they're rolling out guys on that defensive line like Maud Adams, and Loudermilk and Mondo and obviously Chris Wormley has 2.5 sacks against the team that drafts you. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. The time of possession at one point was 20 minutes in favor of the Ravens.
Yep.
And yet that defense found a way. And you know what? Hayward said that Devin Bush played downhill some, maybe, but I thought Schobert was freed up to make some plays. Maybe not outstanding plays or plays that, really stuck out, but he was able to make some tackles, and they were able to get the job done.
Jeff Hathorn, Steelers insider, was at the game yesterday, covering it for us at 93.7thefan.com. Can read about it there. How about the guys who came off the bench, John LeGlue at left guard, and you mentioned Adams, the nose tackle, who just got signed. So you get a chance to see these guys before we do. You got a chance to see, I think, LeGlue in training camp a little bit. And Adams, who they signed off the street or off the Saints practice squad, did you think with either player, when they got thrust into it, when they got thrown into the fire, were there any clues based on what you had seen, Jeff, that suggested that either one of those guys could play?
I mean, there were clues that Adams was going to play, but it was out of desperation. I mean, they needed guys. Mm-hmm. So you kind of had that feeling. LeGlue was interesting in camp because there was a time, and Tomlin brought this up today, in camp where they were down all their centers, where Kendrick Green was gone for a few days from the team. There was the injury to Hassenauer. And this guy, we're trying to figure out, who the hell is this big guy who's now playing center? And then he would play guard, and then he would play tackle. And then you look up his history. He started as a long snapper in college and played every position in college, almost split evenly between center, guard, and tackle. And he did some impressive things, but he wasn't polished. Like, he was just a big guy, but you could see there was something there. And I was saying, we were talking when he signed to the 53, that he could be a guy like Matt Filer. That comes out of nowhere, has a big body, can play different positions, and all he does is trying to stick in the NFL. He told us today he cried when he made the 53 man. Like,
now, did he say he was like actively crying or just tears rolling down his cheek?
This is a real theme to the show
today,
crying.
We've tried to debate.
It's okay to cry.
If you hold on, yeah, obviously it is. But Jeff, do you have to be making noise like to be crying, or if a tear or two rolls down your cheek.
Because that's what I had yesterday, Jeff, at 2 points.
I think a tear or two down the cheek,
that's a cry?
The definition of crying.
So Steratore comes on, he's like, that is crying, Jim.
That is crying, Jim.
Yeah, the commercial where the snowman is about to melt and the girl puts it in the freezer made me cry yesterday.
Yeah, then the punk comes by and wrecks it.
But then they fix it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that, the Steve Austin, the $6 million man of snowmen?
I'm telling you, it tugs at the heartstrings.
And by the way, guys, if you don't mind, from watching Ben postgame, I just want to say this.
Please.
You know, we always get asked, I'm sure you guys do, I do, why does Ben come back? Like, he's made enough money, he's won a couple of championships, why would he put himself through it? And that was it. Like, you could see it in him. Like, this is why I came back, is to be a part of moments like this. This is why it's hard to give up, because it's the drug that keeps these guys going. Like, he soaked in every minute of that game. Did he do so because he might be retiring at the end of the year? Maybe. But I just think, like, this guy loves winning more than anything. And that moment to him is why at the end of the year he thinks, man, I don't want to give up on these, because these are the best things. These are the things I love in my life.
Jeff Hathorn, more commentary and thoughts like that one you just heard over at 93.7thefan.com. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
You were expecting me.
Do you think Ben cried?
No.
You don't think he had a moment where he got
emotional? No, I don't think
tears were. I bet my life he did.
Really?
Yeah. I think maybe after the game, seeing his kids or seeing his wife.
You think tears?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't. I think he was in savoring mode.
So you can't cry and savor at the same time?
I think you can savor in many different ways, but I think this was the non-crying savor.
But I think you are savoring it to the full extent if you're moved to tears by it.
I think if this
was his
final,
ultimate savoring move.
If this was his final home game period at Heinz, in Pittsburgh, then yes, I think there's some crying and savoring.
Donnie, when you were fighting traffic and driving home, were you thinking to yourself, this is what I signed up for. This is why I'm a fan.
Yeah, it was one of those games. Plus, now we know that it's, an end of an era, or pretty close to.
Don't go down that path here, because I don't want old blubbermouth over here to keep going.
So, yeah, I mean,
you were appreciative that you were there.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a special, it's one of those special Steeler games. Because, Ben has one or two left at Heinz Field?
Tennessee and Cleveland, unless they win the AFC North, Malzi.
Which somehow feels like it might be possible, given the way things are going.
Give me the Cowboy clip.
You know, I guess this old Cowboy's got a little bit left in him. Mm-hmm.
Have either of you ever eaten a meal? I've heard people say this, speaking of crying. They were moved to tears by the quality of a meal they had.
No, that has never, ever, 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 ever happened.
I'm telling you, I've had people say they cried. Something was so tasty and so good.
Really?
Yes.
That'd be like if someone cried after sex. Think about how weird that would be.
I am merely telling you, I have heard of it happening.
Playing backyard football, if you will.
if you will. I think we all know what backyard football is at this point. Tomlin is guilty of a million if you wills as
playing
well.
Backyard football, if you will.
What does Tomlin say? Doesn't he say, so to speak, or as they say? Or he does a different version, but it's like, yeah, Mike, everyone knows that turn of phrase.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexner, North Huntington, Uniontown. The final call of yesterday's game from Jim Nance. There is a rumor going around. Okay?
Uh-oh. And you went, wait. Are you saying that there is final call scuttlebutt?
There's a Jim Nance rumor going around. Ooh. That his final call from yesterday's game was ghost written by Bob Pompiani.
What?
Yes. That Nance, many people know this about him for big games, will write down something that he might want to say.
A pre-scripted, he'll script a few final calls out. He'll
and
sketch.
And that this final call was influenced or even ghostwritten by Pomp. I'm serious.
So we know it wasn't
obvious.
You're
a play-by-play guy, Donnie. You draw ideas and get ideas from everywhere, right? You never know where a good idea is going to come from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with it. I mean, it's not something that I've really ever done. But, I mean, Jim Nance is one of the best ever, so.
I mean, it's the two-pointer falls incomplete. And well, everybody, popping ain't easy, but the Steelers have come out on top.
But everyone knows how much Nance respects Bob.
Oh, that's Mutual Admiration Society. Yeah. 100%.
And who knows the Steelers better than Bob?
I would argue
so when
no
Bob
one.
Puts a plants a seed,
Nance reaps the harvest.
Exactly. And I'm here just to give Bob a little bit of credit. We hear these great songs. We very rarely know who the person behind the scenes is who wrote
it's
the
like
song.
A great country song. It's performed by somebody, but the real genius, the
is
writer
who wrote
of the
it.
Song,
right.
toils in anonymity.
And so there's a rumor going around that Pompeiani
ghost
wrote
yeah.
Nance's Call.
His sign-off, almost, in some ways.
And you will hear it next, but first it's headline time, Donnie.
And there's a kneel down and a victory for Ben Roethlisberger. What a warrior he is. Second guest by even former teammates on a lot of hot takes who are off the Christmas card list. He gets the victory today. What a win.
That was Jim Nance at the end of Steelers-Ravens. And there's a lot of speculation that a dinner or a meetup between Pompeiani and Nance prompted that.
Really?
Like Bob and Nance, who are so close, they have a ritual of getting together whenever Nance is in town. And Nance will pick Bob's brain a little bit about the state of the Steelers that...
Get that sort of feel that makes it feel like he's local calling the game.
But Bob, hey, all this week, the Steelers, the ex-Steelers are coming out of the woodwork. They've been very critical of this team,
mm-hmm.
very down on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Nance
theory.
Works that into the final call.
Interesting theory.
And you could tell, because they were going to the other game. What was it? Niners-Seahawks was coming down to the last play.
Mm-hmm.
That
it
they
did.
And you could hear Nance had to rush.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to finish
He's like, I
got to
get this in before James Brown says, all right, Jim, we got
to
go to.
They cut to that game and took it in progress while Nance, like, you know, a world away, a continent away, was finishing his call. And James Brown just stepped right over it. They had business to attend to. They couldn't wait. What do you like? What
hot
do you make
takes,
of scripting calls?
Former
like
players with hot takes that are off the Christmas card list.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.